Earth rotates in space. Blue rays of light illuminate bold white letters, E1 Entertainment. Golden beams of light set countries and continents aglow on a rotating Earth. Bold white and gold letters spelling Universal circle the globe's axis. In space, a series of blue spheres merge together to form two interconnecting large circles, the logo of Relativity Media. A thick-cut glass bowl of lemons sits on a shiny marble surface. A long silver spoon lies close to it, with a smaller one beside that. A man picks up a large steel knife and purposefully cuts the lemons in half, one after the other.
Chapter 1. Sometimes, despite your best efforts otherwise, life will give you lemons.
Dropping ice into a jug, he squeezes lemon juice on top of it.
When that happens, you've got two choices, friend. You can wear a sour face, or make lemonade.
He places a glass next to a bottle of Grey Goose vodka. Unzipping a suitcase, the man places pristine black suit jackets into it on hangers. He packs a wash bag and adds 5 folded shirts to his suitcase. A plane touches down on a runway. Burke walks through an airport. Universal Pictures presents, in association with Relativity Media, a Stuber production. Riding down an escalator, Burke sees a woman travelling up towards him reading his book, A-OK. She catches his eye and does a double take. He smiles at her.
All times, and your head feels like your body.
Burke waits for his bag at the baggage reclaim conveyor belt. One bag arrives, which is taken by a passenger, and the belt is stopped. Burke looks around him, exasperated.
On your shoulder.
Starring Aaron Eckhart and Jennifer Aniston. Love Happens.
It's the time of times again.
Burke sits in a yellow taxi and looks out at the Seattle cityscape as they drive over the bridge.
Not right.
Burke's taxi is stuck in a traffic jam. He sticks his head out of the window, raising his hand in frustration. Walking a fast pace, Burke tries to cross a busy road but relents, stepping back onto the pavement with the other pedestrians.
Again.
Touching his tie and glancing at his watch, Burke looks up as rain starts to fall. Defeated, he uses his briefcase for cover. Lane nervously waits in a hotel reception by a copy of Burke's A-OK book.
Never should have booked this city. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Finally! Huh? What, did you swim here?
Might as well have.
That's exactly why I tell you, you gotta fly in the night before.
Less time I spend in this city,
the
better.
I know, but you'll be enthused to know that I reamed customer service. Your bag is gonna be on the very next flight. But have no fear, there is a brand new suit waiting for you right here.
Where'd you conjure this up from?
Well, rainmakers make rain.
Okay.
Voila, there's a gorgeous latte-colored silk tie in there. I think you'll love it.
It's latte?
Subtle. Okay, there's a red one in there, too. Okay, can you please just look your best? Please, okay? Listen, all 3 Unicom suits will fly in from New York day after tomorrow to see if we can make a deal.
All 3 of them?
I'm Lane Goddamn Marshall. Burke, once in your life, can you please take the elevator? Please?
See ya.
Come to the seminar? Okay. Big day.
Burke runs up the stairs, leaving Lane by the elevators. Out of breath, he looks down at the levels he has climbed and then up at those towering above him. In his hotel room, Burke changes into dry clothes and pours himself a neat vodka, which he downs pensively. Burke nervously waits in a hotel corridor by a billboard reading A-OK Seattle. The logo of a hand signing OK is at the top of the board. Burke paces, waiting for his cue from Lane to enter the seminar. carpeted room is full of people standing clapping as Burke walks down the aisle, shaking hands and waving to the smiling faces. Spotlights are trained on him, and he runs up on stage taking a microphone from Lane, who exits into the wings.
Football fans in the house. Certain college team, not too long ago, lost their season opener. They're going nowhere fast. Then, something happened. Thank you. An event that changed everything for their coach. The guy started sleeping at the office, reinvented the playbook, studied film. He was on the case 24/7. They went on to win the national championship. Well, after all the fanfare and the champagne, he traipsed on home, went upstairs, went to his closet, and removed his Browning double-barreled shotgun, put it to his chin, and pulled the trigger. See, the event that changed it all back at the beginning of the season? His brother, his best friend in the world, died of a heart attack. You might be able to get back on the horse, do great things. Hell, you might even win a national championship. But if you don't pay the piper, he will come calling. I want to thank each and every one of you for having the courage to really feel the loss of loved ones. I know it's not easy. I've been there. How are you? You okay? Good. All right, say it one more time. How are you? All right, I'll see you in workshop.
The audience sign OK up to Burke, who applauses them. In return, they all stand and clap, with Lane beaming from off stage.
Perfect, perfect. Good. Good. Great. Come on, loosen up a little bit. You need a drink? Maybe you need a drink. Waiter?
Please, no drink. Chapter 12, alcohol is no more cure-all than a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
All right. Now flash me that sign of yours. Great, give me that. Great. So tell me, what motivated the book?
My wife died.
I know. Now, why tell the whole world about it?
It was a way to coach myself how to get through it. You know, I never intended for anyone to actually read it, but my manager gave it to a publisher, and here I am.
Yes, you are. What happened?
Burke has a flashback.
She was driving us to dinner. Dog in the middle of the road. Car swerved into a pole. She died instantly.
The photographer looks up from behind her camera with empathy.
That must have been awful. I'm sorry.
Appreciate it.
Well, I think I got what I needed.
Great. Fantastic. Nice to meet you, Jessica.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
You take care.
Thanks.
This way, guys. Follow Burke.
All right, everybody. Those of you who signed up for the morning work group, you're in for a treat.
Let's go.
Come out in the middle here. Excuse us. Excuse us. Sorry. Come on out here. Come on, everybody out. Won't you take a moment and look around and tell me what you see and what you hear, okay? All right. Lorraine.
Cars. Honking cars.
Good. Natalie.
Jackhammers.
Anybody else?
Stoplights.
Stoplights.
Cement.
A homeless person.
Trash.
Middle fingers.
Good, excellent. Now, remember that and follow me.
On the hotel roof.
All right, now what do you see? Lorraine?
The ocean.
Good.
Trees.
Space needle.
Skyscrapers.
Mount Rainier.
Rivers.
Beautiful rivers.
Sun.
Naked hot tubber.
They watch a man climb out of a hot tub below them.
Wow. A little bit different up here, isn't it? And yet, it's the same. We haven't gone anywhere. We're just looking at things from a new perspective. Inside of each of you, there are sirens, honking horns, and gridlock. But there's also this. We just have to do the work and climb the stairs to find it.
Back in the hotel lobby.
You have the reporter at noon, and I think you're going to like her.
Look, I don't really give a rat's ass what your cancellation policy is. I am leaving, and I want my money back.
Sir, it's not that simple. Our cancellation policy clearly states...
Becky, what seems to be the trouble here?
Oh, Mr. Ryan, this gentleman is refusing to adhere...
Thank you. Hi, I'm Burke. You are?
Walter Mayfield.
Walter, where are you from?
Billings. Drove out from Billings.
Montana. It's quite a drive.
Yeah. Look, I don't think this thing is for me, okay?
Okay. You mind if I ask why?
Well, frankly, my sister talked me into it. And the feelings.
I understand. Can I ask you, why did your sister think it was so important for you to come here?
My son.
And what's his name?
Stephen.
And when did he...
Does it really matter?
It matters to me, Walter. I'd like to hear. Do you have a picture?
Walter nods and eyes him suspiciously before reaching into his wallet to pull out a photo.
I'm sorry.
Walter takes back the photo, struggling to contain his emotions.
Walter, I know how you feel. I've been there. My wife died 3 years ago. I want you to know that you've taken the first step just by walking through these doors, and something inside you, whether you know it or not, made you drive all this way. If you want to leave, we'll honor your request. I hope you don't.
He holds Walter's gaze with wide and blinking eyes.
Thanks, Becky. Think about it.
He walks away, leaving Walter looking after him deep in thought. Back in his hotel room, rain pours down outside.
Chapter 2. Happiness is a state of mind. And like all things, it takes practice. Devote 5 minutes a day to smiling, just smiling. And after a while, it'll come naturally.
With a sigh, Burke restlessly moves around his room. Burke leaves his room and strides around the corner. After colliding with Eloise, Burke openly stares at her. She glances at him warily. He watches her scurry away with a flower cart in tow. She turns to go one way, then changes direction, flustered. He glances down to see a pen on the floor.
Hey, you forgot your pen!
Burke stares after Eloise with a pen in hand. He turns to read S.A. Blind on the right-hand corner of a hallway painting. He spots ink near the border of the frame and pushes the painting aside to reveal the scribbled word quidnunc on the wall. Burke turns back around, looking perplexed, letting the painting fall into place. Burke stands in a bookshop by the reference section, looking up quidnunc's meaning. He reads, an overly inquisitive person, a busybody. He looks up thoughtfully. At the hotel bar.
What can I get you?
I would like another 7 and 7 and a tomato juice for my virtuous friend here.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you. So, as far as Unicom knows, I'm a hair away from signing a deal with Time Warner, okay? I'm expecting the offer by lunchtime tomorrow. That means TV, radio, publishing, all of it. Are you as hot for me right now as I am hot for me right now?
So hot.
And check it. Ted Vernon, CEO himself, is going to fly in for the end of the seminar. My guess, a little warm and fuzzy contract inking party. Who knows?
Drinks, gentlemen?
Thank you. It's a long way from booking you gigs writing columns for Psychology Today, huh?
Lane and Burke chink glasses soberly.
Get you a Learjet. Like Learjets?
Buddy.
Come on. You know that's not why I wrote it.
You do know that you're helping people, right, man?
This is your moment. You have to give yourself permission to enjoy it, brother. Come on, man. Live a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Burke looks over Lane's shoulder to watch Eloise, who flower arranges in the hotel lobby. He looks thoughtful, then picks up Lane's drink and downs it in one.
You're right.
Burke walks decisively towards Eloise, psyching himself up en route to her by breathing out to calm any nerves. She doesn't see him arrive behind her.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Hi, do you remember me? From the hallway upstairs? You dropped your pen? Would you like to have a cup of coffee?
Eloise looks at a cardboard cutout of Burke in an A-OK stance over his shoulder. He follows her gaze.
Ah, right. Well, we could bring him along if you want. Double your pleasure.
Eloise signs expressively to Burke. He watches her open-mouthed and uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
She gives him a thumbs-up sign and walks outside to her VW van with Eloise's garden written on the side.
Hey, Ricky!
Later, Eloise.
She greets a passing hotel worker en route. Disappointed, Burke stands watching her walk away. The Seattle viewing tower looms in the background. Eloise drives to an open-plan apartment where a man sits sanding the neck of a guitar. The apartment's interior looks like a workshop.
Hey, baby! What's
this?
Wow.
I was in the neighborhood, so I figured I'd bring you lunch. I wonder you'd be working so hard.
Wow, you didn't have to do that.
Polished up, ready to go.
Ooh.
Hey, Eloise.
Hey, Ann. How's your boss treating you today?
Oh, he's all right.
Lead singer of the Stereo Kings trashed his Les Paul. Look at that fretboard, man. As good as new. Make sure he signs for it.
Eloise picks up a wine glass.
Did you have company?
Yeah, I told you. Frank and I were working last night.
Frank wears lipstick?
Hey, listen, Alex, it's not what you think. It's a business, totally platonic.
Oh, you know what? You used that one last time.
No, she's got ties to Sony. Hey, listen to me. You gotta listen to me. Eloise!
I don't want
to
hear it.
Eloise storms out of the apartment. She is hurt and upset. She kneels on grass in a garden, tending to a flower bed. She sighs, lost in thought.
I asked God who I'm supposed to be. The stars smiled down at me, God answered.
In the background, Seattle's skyline glows in the fading sun. Berger walks down a hotel corridor, stopping by Eloise's display of flowers. He takes a single white flower and threads it carefully through his suit lapel. He turns to see Walter carrying a seminar pass. He stops and puts it around his neck. Burke smiles and nods at Walter, who nods back briefly, resigned. Burke signs copies of his book A-OK held out to him by seminar attendees.
How you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Mr. Lyon, you are something. Yes, sir. Say, would you mind signing that to Donald and Shirley, please? There you go. Say, do you mind if I share? Yeah, see, there's this fellow in his 60s, and he thinks he's just gonna, you know, sail through his retirement. But then one day, 3 years and 13 days ago, his daughter dies. And the truth is, he hasn't been doing very well. doesn't sleep much, and he and his wife, well, you can understand. But his daughter's husband, well, he doesn't seem to be having any of these kinds of problems. No, she was crushed to death in a car crash, but he, well, he's making lemonade out of lemons. Isn't that how it goes?
Burke is distressed at the sight of his father-in-law opposite him. He swallows profusely and looks at the ground.
When are you going to stop lying, son?
Hypocrite.
Remorsefully, Burke watches his father-in-law walk away. Lane speaks with Burke in a conference room.
Burke, I am so sorry. God, the ball's on him.
I'm fine.
Who does he think he is?
My father.
Even so, way over the line. Forget that. You know what? She'd be proud of you. All right, you're pissed off at me. 1,000 times you said no to Seattle, but I wouldn't listen. You gotta be pissed off at me.
I'm fine.
Burke?
Worried, Lane watches Burke walk away. His shoulders are hunched and he stops mid-climb of the hotel stairs. Burke watches old footage of his wife on his phone. Burke mouths I love you to the screen. At Eloise's flower store.
So, my ass don't fit no Cosmo cover. You think I can't be some hot animal lover? You scared of my cerebral cortex? That I'm Gloria's fish, chromosome X? Or maybe you're just afraid of my battery-operated sex?
Horrified, an old woman stares at Marty.
What do you think? Hello.
There's something wrong with that girl.
She said she wanted to hear it.
Marty, slam poetry, coffee house, my shop, work, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any new receivables?
Just that birthday arrangement I told you about.
Right, right. Marty, you did not cauterize the stems.
I was just about to.
You know what? Here's what happens. The sap pollutes the water, and then they die twice as fast.
I know. I'll get it. I promise.
I don't understand this. We have roses. We have all of these. I mean, come on. These are flowers living out of water.
You all right?
Look, I've had a really bad couple of days, okay?
Marty raises her eyebrows.
Would you like to talk to me about
it?
No,
I don't.
Because you weren't this mad the last time I forgot to cauterize.
Eloise closes her eyes and makes a concerted effort to calm herself.
Tyler. And some groupie.
Again?
Yeah.
No. No!
Oh, crazy.
I can't believe it. God, you know what? No, I can believe it. I can totally believe it.
Excuse me? What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's so clear to me.
Oh.
It means that you managed to choose guys that guarantee that at some point we are going to be standing here having the same conversation again, and you're going to be shocked at the outcome of the relationship again. But most of all, I just hate seeing you get so disappointed and hurt every single time. Am I being too harsh?
Yes. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to...
Yeah. Eloise sits frowning to herself. A queue is in front of Burke for signings and advice.
It was because they were feeling pain, resentment. I want you to reread chapter 12. Okay. The cigarettes are more than just a habit. They're a denial mechanism.
Oh.
Okay. Mental health begins with...
Physical health. Okay.
And how you always say it's important to remember the person, how they lived, not how they died. Well, my husband loved my oatmeal raisin cookies so much. So I took his ashes and... Meet my Stanley.
An old woman holds an open cookie jar for Burke to see into. He looks at the ash-covered cookies.
And don't those look delicious?
I'll see you in workshop.
As he walks away, Burke spots Eloise talking to a hotel receptionist downstairs. He looks angry and strides towards her.
Event next week in the junior ballroom. But then Julie was wondering if we could get the side arrangements. Excuse me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's been a healing. You like making a fool of people? Pretending to be Helen Keller?
Well, technically, she was blind also, so...
Oh. Will you excuse us for a second? Thank you. See, I happen to know a thing or two about people. You get approached a lot. Probably have since the day you strapped on your first training bra. But you're smart and you're creative and you're caring and deep. But how come the guys only see the package it comes in? Sure, you're flattered, but ultimately it's tiresome because it has nothing to do with you. You were born that way. You can't take credit for it. Your insides, though, that's yours. That's what you want someone to truly see, even a stranger. Ergo, you fake a handicap rather than deign to have a conversation with a fellow human being. You prefer sign language? Fine.
He sticks up his middle finger at her. Burke walks into the men's toilets.
Smooth. Real smooth. Excuse me, this is the men's room.
You know what, excuse me. What did you have in mind? Some sweet, romantic courtship in the bar over some warm peanuts before we consummate our love in the glow of Spectrovision porn? God, I'm so sorry your little ego took such a bruising. But you know what? I bet the next chick that you meet in the elevator or, I don't know, the gym mm-hmm. is gonna fit that bill just mm-hmm. fine. Even though I bet you have a wife who is actually stupid enough to believe that you're the one guy with integrity. The one guy. Until, of course, she finds that lipstick mark on your boxers, and then it's game over, pal. And that one thing that you held so dear, that one thing that you love more than anything in the world, is tainted and ruined and destroyed like that. Ergo, if you had a brain in either head, you would realize that I was doing us both a favor.
Eloise looks awkward at the sound of the flush from the cubicle behind her. A man exits, walking between them. Burke raises his eyebrows, looking smug.
Problem. Is that my flower you're wearing?
No.
She tilts her head quizzically.
Yes, 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 it is. I took it before when I thought you were deaf. Not that I would steal from a deaf person.
All right. Goodbye.
Eloise sits in her shop arranging flowers with headphones on. Marty carries a white bouquet of flowers towards her with a card.
All right, this one's ready.
Where's that headed?
Don't know. He said you'd know where it was going.
Eloise reads the word quidnunc on the card and turns it over to read, dinner? She smiles. Burke sits nervously waiting at a window table in a restaurant.
Hi.
Hi. Get your breath.
Thank you. My, fancy.
Concierge. Good.
Oh, that's good. They should know.
Yeah.
Awkwardly, they both stare out of the window.
It stopped raining.
It sure did.
Carrot ginger and spinach soup.
You know, I have to say, I have never been on a date with someone who has a cardboard cutout of themselves.
Well, I mean, they're good for the carpool lane.
Oh. Got it.
You know, we take long walks on the beach together, go fly kites. He's the kite. Because he's cardboard.
Burke looks down and Eloise winces.
salads. Enjoy.
Thank you.
So, quidnunc?
Yeah. You weren't really supposed to see that, but, you know, they're just words.
So there's more than one, or?
Mm-mm.
Burke is lost for words, watching Eloise cut up her salad determinedly.
Well, your concierge called it. That was real good.
Right.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
So, I'm gonna go. It's a school night for me, so.
I understand.
That was very nice. Thank
you. Thank you. Great.
Okay.
Goodbye.
See you later. Thanks.
They shake hands and Eloise walks away.
Eloise.
Oh.
Reluctantly, Eloise turns back towards Burke.
I haven't been on a date in 3 years. See, I was married, and normally I'm quite dashing and debonair and whatever other D word there is that would really impress you, but it's painfully apparent that I'm a little rusty.
Why wouldn't you just say so?
Desperate attempt to hold on to whatever shred of masculinity that I have left.
Okay, so then I'm your first since a divorce.
You are the first.
Well, that's good, because that explains a lot. I really, because that in there.
It's bad.
Really bad. Well, I have to go pick some phalangiums right now. Would you like to come with me?
Yeah.
Good.
In her shop, Eloise puts a spoonful of maple syrup into a vase of water.
Personally, I like to put the waffles and bacon in first.
I'm increasing the pH level.
Hey, you do your thing.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what your thing is.
You're just gonna have to read my book.
Oh, you're slippery.
I prefer mysterious. How long you been at this?
Oh, I've always wanted to do it. I finally got up the guts a couple years ago to open my own shop.
Good for you.
Burke picks up a card.
Julie, we have never met.
Oh, great. Wow. No, see, double.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, no mean to, but these are just they're from deliveries of, they're copies I've made of cards that have, you know, stuck with me. So.
Can I?
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. Julie, we have never met, but I've watched you lovingly all these years. Congratulations, and have a beautiful wedding. Love, your father.
They smile at each other. Burke holds another card.
May I? Let's see. Stacy, these are supposed to last 2 weeks. I'll be back in time to see them bloom.
Yeah, deployed Marine, he never saw them bloom.
One last one. My dearest wife, happy 50th anniversary. Sorry about the rug burns last night. Thanks for the visual.
Oh, life on a 3x5.
Rain splashes onto the sea's surface by Seattle cityscape. Burke leads a workshop, and a man holds a candle surrounded by others.
Okay, well, I mean, if this is the candle of truth, then I guess I should be honest. I used her life insurance money for a down payment on a condo in Mexico.
Well, because we talked about it before, he liked the idea. So I made a mold.
of his, you know. That way, when he was gone, we could still, you know.
Who's next?
Burke holds the candle and looks at the people around him. He sees Walter looking down at the carpet.
Walter?
Not much to say, really.
Walter, there's always something to say. Come on, tell us. How'd your son die?
Walter steps forward to take the candle. He looks defensive and guarded.
I used to be a contractor. He was my little right-hand man. Only 12, but he could frame a garden shed. Better than I could. We stopped by my construction site. I had to pick up some blueprints for my trailer. I told him to wait in the car. He fell off a scaffold and snapped his spinal cord in two.
Bystanders wince in the background, and Walter struggles to hold back his grief.
Just like that. Every day. I should have known he wouldn't stay in the car.
A single tear falls from his eye. Burke looks around at the crowd, then turns back to Walter.
Walter, you said I used to be a contractor.
Oh. I can't even walk into a hardware store. I clean buildings at night now, and I lost my business. My wife left me.
With quiet anger, Walter hands back the candle to Burke.
Thank you, Walter. There's a dirty little secret. It's fear. How many here don't fly anymore? Come on, raise your hands. Who here gets an annual checkup? 3 times a year. How many of you don't take elevators? Or give up skiing, biking, surfing, kayaking, whatever it might be?
All have their hands raised in the air.
Well, listen to me. Fear is a state of mind. We're gonna prove that right now. Let's put our hands together.
Barefooted, Burke stands in front of a long bed of hot coals.
Ready? Here we go.
He strides over the coals.
Okay? Come on, Natalie.
Natalie runs over the coals, supported with applause from her fellow attendees. She hugs Burke. More people walk the coals. Eloise pushes a flower trolley towards the source of the noise. She peers in to see the commotion. Burke challenges Walter to try. Walter looks down at the coals warily.
Okay.
I'm sorry. This is just, it's silly. I'm not gonna feel A-okay because I walked across some damn coals.
Okay. Then it shouldn't be that big of a deal, Walter.
Oh, it's not a big deal. It's just...
It's a step. It's an important step.
Well, it has nothing to do with my Stephen.
Walter, would Stephen want you like this? Or would he want you to move on? To take a step forward?
You don't know anything about my son.
Walter, watch.
Burke steps up onto the coals, standing still. Smoke curls up from under Burke's feet, but he keeps eye contact with Walter.
Walter, come on.
Eloise looks concerned as Burke's feet smolder. He does not see her, willing Walter to join him.
Come on, Walter. You can do this. Come on. Walter?
Walter walks away and Burke steps off the coals.
Okay. All right, we all go at our own pace. He'll get there. All right, well, let's give ourselves a round of applause. We're daring to kick fear right where it hurts.
Eloise picks up a copy of A-OK from the hallway table.
Come on, buddy. This stuff is gonna hurt.
Lane bends down with a spray to where Burke sits with his burnt feet up.
How many layers of skin do you think you have?
Not enough.
You know, you can't do the work for them. You know that, right?
Guy needs help.
Fine, but you can't do it for them. It's gonna sting a little bit. Ready? Count of three. One.
Oh, ah! Lane! You're fired.
Once you sign with us, you're no longer an independent contractor. You've got all 32 divisions funneling your image 24/7.
Within a year, we'll increase your household name recognition by 65%. The Burke Ryan Show will subsequently launch in the third quarter, followed by the DVD line, a new set of books, syndicated talk radio, etc.
Etc. is good.
All this lays the foundation for a branding strategy that taps into demographics well beyond your current base.
Studies indicate that persons grieving the loss of a loved one put on 30 to 40% more weight than the national average.
Introducing the Burke Ryan Calorie Reduction Plan. Finally, a loss you can feel good about.
Ooh, look at that. I like that picture.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
You look strong, you look happy, and...
Right.
It's a mock-up at this point. Anyway, continuing on.
Burke sits with flip-flops on, listening to Unicom's pitch. He carries all of the brand mock-ups to his hotel room, including fitness equipment and protein powder. He notices his red aunt's phone button is flashing.
Forget when Mr. Vernon gets into town.
Hey, I gotta take them down to the museum and show them around like an idiot.
Did that beep? Hey, Burke. It's me, Eloise.
Eloise drives Walter in her van.
So, where are we going?
It's all good, you'll see.
They pull up outside a house.
I will be right back.
Is this your house?
No, it's my mom's. I'm just gonna go grab something. I mean, you're more than welcome to come in.
Okay.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, hi, honey.
Bob left the keys on the counter.
Oh, great. Great. How was your day?
Oh, fine. I had lots of coupons.
Oh, really? So that was busy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Brought you flowers.
Oh, those are so pretty. Thanks.
Mom, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Oh, I wasn't expecting company.
Hi. I'm, Burke.
Burke Ryan! Ellie, you didn't tell me you were dating a celebrity!
No, we're not dating.
I wish you would have told me I look like hell.
Not at all. It's just the opposite. I see where Eloise gets her looks.
Her mum smiles broadly.
Let's show him your pictures.
You know, no, I don't think so.
I'd love to.
No.
Shh. Really, I am. You know. Okay, I'm going to get the keys.
Oh, my word. You got Pocahontas here.
Eloise was state archery champion 2 years in a row.
No.
Mother.
Oh, don't be modest. This is Burke Ryan.
Oh, shh.
I loved you on the Today Show.
Now, how old is she here?
Okay. I got those keys, so thank you for that. We gotta go.
Oh, okay.
A-OK. It's very nice meeting you.
Right, me too. We can't see you.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye. Oh,
I'm so glad you're not dating that musician.
Mother. Oh, God.
Stop.
I
love you. Thanks. Thank
She's so sweet.
She loves you.
I really enjoyed that.
That was very sweet.
Oh, Mom. Oh, no, no. No,
huh?
This way. Come on.
Where are we going?
Oh, it's fun not knowing, isn't it? You'll see.
She leads him to a big white telephone cable truck.
What, are you trying to avoid the FBI?
Oh, you'll see. Please, just get in the truck.
Burke looks behind him at the mechanical arm attached to the truck.
I think I forgot my hard hat.
Oh, really? Well, here you go.
She holds up a white hard hat and he smiles. Eloise parks and walks to the back of the truck, climbing up and opening the door to a small cubicle attached to the mechanical arm.
Oh, what you doing?
Your chariot awaits.
Seriously? Me and Bucket.
Yes, trust me.
Whoa. Have you had any cold medicine today?
Not today. We're good. Okay, now watch this. Very dangerous fingers.
Uh-huh.
Lock us in. Got it?
Do you know what you're doing?
Uh-huh. Ready?
Oh, Lord.
We in? Buckled?
Okay.
Locked? Loaded?
All right, here lies Burke Ryan, dead.
Oh, stop it. I had a crash course this morning from Bob.
Who is Bob? And why is my life in his hands?
Bob's my mom's neighbor, current boyfriend of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what I was thinking. I wanted to pick up from last night, and I wanted to get you tickets to Rogue Wave, but they've been sold out for weeks. So I figured, where there is a will, there is a way.
Burke follows her gaze and he stares at an enormous uplit stage with hundreds of people in the audience cheering. The fully erect mechanical arm towers over the stadium wall and crowds, giving them an incredible view of the unfolding show. Burke is amazed and laughs. Burke looks at Eloise's profile. She turns to him, smiling. Eloise drops Burke back.
If I had a nickel for every time I saw a concert for a telephone truck, I'd be a very... Thank you. It was exquisite.
Don't thank me. Thank Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, I got your book. I'm halfway through it.
Really? Well, wait till you get to the recipe chapters. They're top notch.
Sorry about your wife. How come you didn't tell me that's what happened?
Never came up.
Well, it sounded like you really loved her.
Yeah, I did. But that was a long time ago.
3 years.
21 in dog years.
She smiles at him warily but kindly. He looks down.
I had a really, really great time.
Me too. That was really fun.
She kisses his cheek.
What?
I'm waiting to watch you strut back to your bitchin' rig.
All right.
Bye.
Eloise playfully struts back towards the van, turning to face Burke, who smiles after her.
Don't have a clue what it is like to be next to you. Birds sing.
Eloise arrives at her shop. She carries boxes of vases. She smiles to herself as she unpacks them, watched by a puzzled Marty.
Is that the international song for Got Laid?
No, hardly.
Come on, throw me a bone. What happened last night?
It was fun.
So are you gonna see him again?
I don't know. Maybe.
May I just point out that you broke up with Tyler 72 hours ago, and now you're dating some other guy who's not even going to be in town for 72 hours? Can I just point that out?
Okay, we're not dating. We just met. And, you know, I like him. We're just hanging out.
Just be careful. Men are hairy.
Thank you for that.
Burke walks in the hotel corridors and stops to look at a painting of a bowl of fruit. He eyes it suspiciously and smiles. Burke looks underneath every painting he can find, checking the frames. He moves on to another area of the hotel where he stands on a sofa inspecting a large painting. From between his legs, he spots a young, curly-haired boy watching him. He feigns normality by sitting down on the sofa and staring defiantly back at the child. Walking through another corridor, he spots a floral arrangement underneath a large painting of a tree. He approaches it, pushes aside the frame, to reveal the pink-scrawled word papismic. He smiles and reads the meaning in the reference section of the bookshop. Typed font reads, "The sound produced by smacking one's lips." He tries the sound watched with interest by a bookshop worker. Eloise receives a fax with papismic written on it. Incredulous, she holds it before smiling broadly. Three Unicom suits sit looking disgruntled opposite Lane.
2 minutes, give me 2 minutes. It's called away for emergencies.
Lane breathes in anxiously. At a Persian-themed bar.
Her freckles frame eyes the color of mermaid's tears. Her ears like waking up to the sound of children at play.
My first five senses are reeling like an old school cassette tape rewound then played. Electric relaxation all day.
You and your phallus may run this world, but this Amazon bitch will cut you down to size.
Eloise and Burke applaud Marty, who walks to their table.
Yay! Thank you. I tried to mix up the iambic pentameter with a little haiku motif. Kick-ass Mart.
Drink?
Yeah, all around on me. And can we have more of the Istanbul black demon shisha, please? Thank you. So wicked. Want to try it?
Yeah, try.
Okay.
Try me.
Lane walks in to see Burke inhaling from a shisha pipe.
Excuse me for a second, will you?
Where is that?
Burke approaches an angry-looking Lane at the bar.
Hey, right here. I beg you, please make sense of this. I'm just enjoying a little local flavor. Since when do you enjoy anything? How did you even find me?
I'm Lane goddamn Marshall, okay?
You asked directions from your concierge.
What is going on here? We're on the verge of the deal of the century here. And you're off playing Prince of Persia.
Drinks, gentlemen?
No, get out of here.
Lane. No, thank you. You calm down.
I'm not calm down. Their CEO is coming in 2 days. You have any idea the blood, sweat, and tears it's taken me to put this thing together? You know, Unicom didn't even know your name 6 months ago.
I know. And I appreciate it.
You don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't.
Lane, friend to friend. Do you not want this?
Burke looks down, and Lane searches his face for an answer.
You can tell me.
Lickin'. I'm ready.
So for the next few days, you're gonna be where I tell you to be when I tell you to be there?
Yes. Scout's honor.
The scouting.
Oh, God. Will you relax? You're gonna have a heart attack.
I had a heart attack. I had 4 heart attacks on the way here. So who are these fine folks that you're consorting with?
Just people I've met.
Yeah?
her name's Eloise.
Well, what hath struck the earth? Details.
She's...
Yeah?
Lost for words, but smiling, Burke nods at Lane.
That's great. That's great.
So, I'm gonna get back.
Yeah, we better.
Burke hesitates at Lane's words, then smiles.
All right, yeah, pleasure to meet you guys. Welcome to the rainy city. Belly dance.
The group laugh and joke, toasting each other. Burke and Eloise giggle to themselves, becoming more tactile as the evening goes on. In neon letters, an outside sign reads Public Market Centre. A clock reads 10:50 p.m. Next to that, an orange farmer's market sign. The group walks down an alley where Burke blows a bubble with gum, which Eloise pops with her finger. In turn, they all stick their used gum onto a stone wall covered in multicoloured wads of it. Eloise and Burke stand by a mock stone carving of a sphinx, which Lane excitedly climbs onto. They laugh at him. The group stand in a cemetery, solemnly looking at 2 headstones reading Bruce Lee, 1940 to 1973, and Brandon Bruce Lee, 1965 to 1993. They walk through the rest of the cemetery, stepping onto the grass.
It's tragic. They were so young. It's just so sad. I don't know how you deal with all that death every day.
Well, I have to deal with it no matter what.
I think that funerals are archaic and a waste of money.
Actually, funerals are an important ritual in the grieving process. They don't just recognize that a life has ended, they recognize that a life was lived. My wife's funeral...
You don't have to...
No, it's okay. That's okay. Which was actually here in Seattle. Was a celebration. It was a beautiful day in March.
St. Patrick's Day,
actually, and our family has a little plot, so we set up chairs and candles, and it had been raining for 2 weeks straight, pouring. But on that day, the sun came out, the dahlias were blooming in the ground as if they were welcoming her. It was magic.
Lane looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was a healing for my family.
Eloise follows behind Burke, processing his words. She is confused.
Dahlias?
Burke turns to face her.
Dahlias. Dahlias, it was her favorite flower.
Lane glances at Marty.
Dahlias don't bloom here until the fall.
Maybe they were early that year.
It's getting late. We should hit the road, Burke.
Eloise notices Lane giving Burke a warning. She looks at him concerned as Burke shakes his head in mock confusion. Defeated, he walks away, watched by Eloise and Lane.
He didn't go, did he?
No.
Emotional, Eloise stands alone. Burke rides a tram, arriving at the Seattle Viewing Tower. He climbs to its summit. Looking out over the night cityscape, Burke remembers his wife.
Oh, so beautiful here. Look, look, you can see my parents' house. Right, yeah, right there. Okay, your turn. Big smile, time for that tourist snapshot. Gonna go right on the wall in the living room. You're not smiling. Would you smile, please? Okay, 3, 2, 1. Say cheese.
Flashback to the night of the accident. Pouring rain, headlights, a snarling dog in the road, screeching of brakes, his wife serene and white and smiling. Burke stands alone. He swallows and stares out into the night sky. Burke climbs into his hotel bed as the rain pours down outside. His sleeping figure is reflected in the window pane. Noticeably agitated, Burke is in workshop addressing a seated group.
Recovery starts with acceptance, Olivia. I think you're well on your way. Okay, good. Who's next? Anybody? Come on, people. This is what these smaller sessions are for. Let's get our hands up. Come on, participate. Martha, please.
I don't know.
No, Martha, I don't know. Never got anybody anywhere. So, please, this is your assessment. Let's make the most of it, okay?
I think I'm coming to terms with some of my anger.
Good.
And I'm going to try to stop projecting it onto others.
Fine. Work on that in group this afternoon. All right? All right, next. Anybody? Come on, people. Walter, how about you?
I feel I'm getting a lot out of the seminar.
Like what? Come on, there's no right answer here. Open up.
Well, it's just, it still hurts.
Okay, that's a given, Walter. What are you doing about it?
I'm trying.
No, Walter, I don't think that you're trying hard enough.
I don't know how to try any harder.
You don't know how? You don't know how? Have I not been up here the last 3 days? Have you not been listening to me? I mean, you don't know how, Walter?
No,
Then spit it out. Come on, what is it? What is it?
You want to know what? He should be pitching Little League right now. If he'd stayed in the car, he'd be playing video games, he'd be spray painting his skateboard, he'd be pissing me off by being a kid. But he's never going to do any of that because he's in a goddamn box.
Walter's provoked emotional outburst silences the room, and Burke stares at him compassionately. Walter sits back down and starts to cry. Lane sits back against the wall, observing the tension nervously. Burke walks towards Walter and crouches down in front of him.
Walter. You're stuck. You can't move forward because you got your eyes on the rearview mirror. The death of your son has become the death of you. Your marriage, your job, everything.
I don't know how to get it back.
You're a contractor, right? Build it. One brick at a time.
Walter sits back in his chair, contemplating Burke's advice through his tears.
Watch your step. Little field trip today.
Hi.
How you doing, Burke?
Good.
Trust me.
Burke guides Walter onto a waiting bus. It crosses a bridge passing the stadium.
All right, follow.
coming.
Can we run on the corner, Ryan?
Thanks.
I think I want your step. Yeah, I'll see you out there, okay? Okay. You all right there?
Okay.
Walter sits alone on the bus.
I'm not going out there. I can't go out there.
Walter. You're not a janitor. You're a contractor.
Walter looks out of the window and back to Burke nervously.
After you.
Walter steps off the bus, followed by Burke, who pushes a trolley towards him.
Now let's fill this thing up.
All right, gang, let's go.
Walter leads the way into a large building with bold orange letters reading The Home Depot. Close-ups of long steel nails, industrial pipes and screwdrivers. Walter looks around him overwhelmed. A huge warehouse is filled with aisles of industrial material. One A-OK attendee approaches Walter, smiling. She tentatively holds out a black tool belt to Walter. He eyes it for a long time, but reaches out and takes it. He looks her in the eye and nods. Walter stands in front of hammers. He picks one up, inspects it, and slides it skillfully into a metal ring on the tool belt he now wears. Burke watches him gain his confidence from afar. Walter now leads the group down aisles, pointing items out to add to the trolley. Lane watches the cost at the till clocking up past the $2,840 mark. Horrified, he reluctantly hands over his credit card, the attendant having to forcibly pull it out of his grasp. Walter stands looking back at the aisles of the store. Burke approaches him, smiling.
Ain't I gotten a kick out of this?
Walter shakes his head in disbelief and turns to Burke. He holds the photograph of his son.
Thank you for reminding me.
Reminded yourself, Walter.
I couldn't hold him. At the end, I couldn't hold him. The paramedics had not to move. So, I want you to have this.
He hands Burke the picture.
Beautiful boy, Walter.
You ever need a remodel?
Walter pushes his trolley, leaving Burke to look around at the exit. He tucks the boy's photograph into his inside jacket pocket and follows Walter out. Magnified through the bulbous base of a flower vase, a man enters Eloise's shop. She does a double take, looking over her shoulder.
I didn't go to her funeral, and I haven't spoken to her parents since I didn't take care of Rocky. I stopped talking to her friends. I threw out everything that even smelled of her.
Listen, I wasn't judging you or trying to trip you up.
Can I say something? And this comes from a place of total humility, with the acknowledgement that my life is a day-by-day experiment in really bad decisions. But, you really messed up. I mean, maybe you need someone to nudge you to do these things that you don't want to do. Like, talk to her parents or take care of Rocky. Whatever Rocky is. What is Rocky?
It's a parrot.
Parrot?
Her parrot. He's loud and he shits all over the place.
It's a parrot.
She made me promise that if anything ever happened to her, that I it sounds, it's crazy.
What?
That I would release him into the wild.
And you haven't done that, have you?
No. No, her parents took him.
Didn't you say her parents live here?
Mm-hmm.
Two birds, one stone. Come on.
Eloise. No,
why?
Eloise, because her father.
Hmm.
No, it's more complicated than that.
I'm sure it's very complicated.
Eloise, no.
Eloise drives Burke to his in-law's house. She pulls up and Burke sits surly-faced with his head resting against the window frame.
So that's it?
That's it.
Do you want me to go with you or?
No. I don't think that would go over so well. I don't even know if they're home. They probably didn't even keep the bird.
Burke.
He sighs and looks towards the house, then back towards Eloise before opening the door. He pauses.
Did I mention that her father is an ex-Marine?
Eloise nods, staring blankly at him. Resigned, he gets out of the van. Reaching the front door, Burke pauses. He looks at the doorbell, then up above the door to a long sword above the words Semper Fi. He tries to look through the spy hole, then listens at the door. Inside, his father-in-law watches television with his wife. Burke spies in on his in-laws keeping hidden. He scans the living room where they both sit. Burke pops his head up by the kitchen window ledge outside and sees Rocky through the window.
That's right. Guess who? You never thought you'd see me again, did you?
Now inside the kitchen, Burke tries to unhook the suspended parrot cage. He kneels up on the kitchen counter, fiddling with the fixings. He is interrupted by his father-in-law getting up in the next room.
Damn commercial. How about some fresh tea, huh?
Oh, thanks.
His father-in-law stares quizzically at Rocky and his cage, which swings from side to side.
What the hell's going on with you? Huh? What are you up to now? I'm talking to Rocky.
Honey, don't tease him. You know,
he gets... I'm not teasing him. He was doing the damn car alarm again.
Honey, could you get me some lemon, please?
What?
Could you get some lemon, please?
Yes, it's right here. Shut up!
Just don't cut yourself when you're slicing it.
I won't cut myself. Don't worry.
As his father-in-law carries out two iced teas, Burke sighs with relief from under the kitchen table where he hides. Eloise hums to herself waiting in the van.
Go! 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 Start it up! Go!
What's going on?
Go! Just drive!
What?
Go! Just drive!
I'm going!
Drive! Let's get out of here! Go! Go! Go, 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 go!
She speeds away.
Jesus, what happened?
I got the bird. That's all that matters.
Were they that upset?
They will be.
What?
Eloise stops the van and turns, frowning to Burke.
What happened to two birds, one stone?
One bird's all I could manage. Eloise,
They never would have given me that bird, trust me.
You don't know that.
I cut my losses. If she wanted this bird turned loose, this is the way to get it done.
Facing forward, then turning back, Eloise holds up her hands in frustration.
All right.
They drive into thick woodland and get out. Burke takes out the cage and Eloise holds an umbrella.
This isn't animal cruelty or something, is it?
It wasn't my idea. It was your idea.
It wasn't my idea. It was her idea.
Well, let's let him decide.
With a wry smile, Eloise watches Burke carry Rocky into the woods. Burke emerges into a clearing by a river and sets down the cage. He opens the door of the cage.
Come on. Come on, Rocky, fly away. Come on, let's go. Giddy up. You see the world. Come on, meet some girls.
Rocky hops out onto the ground but hops towards Burke.
No, come on. Go on, get out of here. No, Rocky, come on, go. Come on.
Crouched on his haunches, Burke flaps at Rocky.
Hi-yay, hi-yay, ha-rah, fly away. Rocky, look at me.
As Burke clucks and jumps, Rocky copies him, bouncing up and down.
Giddy up, giddy up. Yeah, yeah. All right, now you're pissing me off. You want to go back to Semper Fi's house? All right, you know what? You're on your own.
Burke stares at Rocky, who will not fly away. He storms off into the wood, leaving the parrot behind. At the sound of the bird's cries, Burke stops walking away. He stands thinking, then suddenly turns on his heel, running back to Rocky. Full of emotion, Burke smiles down at Rocky, who regards him with a cocked head. Rocky turns away and soars up into the sky. Burke watches him go. Eloise looks anxiously at Burke as he nears the van. He's agitated.
How'd it go?
Mission accomplished.
Is he happy? Are you happy?
It's a bird. I set it free.
Oh.
I need you to take me back to the hotel. I feel better for having done it, okay?
Listen, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, really.
Just tell me what to say and I'll say.
No. I don't know. I haven't thought this through. You know, Burke, I like you. I like you. Not the author, not the guy with the microphone, and I just want to help.
You know what, Eloise? I need you to take me back to the hotel right now. And I need you to respect that.
Burke, I will...
Damn it! You just don't know when to quit, do you? I asked you to stop, and you just keep on. Maybe you're the one who needs psychoanalysis. Leave me alone, all right?
Eloise is teary as he walks away from her.
Catch my own ride back.
Burke wearily walks under a motorway sign reading Seattle, 5 kilometers. He holds up his thumb half-heartedly, trying to hitch a ride. The city lights sparkle down below him. Lane sits at a hotel bar checking his phone. He sees Burke walking into the lobby.
It's about time.
Oh my God! Where the hell have you been?
It's not important.
Uh-huh. Well, let me tell you something that is important. You blew off dinner, and Vernon's here. I mean, Jesus, you have got to...
Lane.
Burke stops walking. Taking a breath to calm himself, he turns.
I'll meet with him first thing in the morning, make sure he feels the love. You, meanwhile, accept their offer, but tell them the DVD rollout is too late. I want it bumped up to next month.
Jesus. What the hell happened to you, man?
I can't wait to get out of this city.
Hey, is everything cool?
Absolutely.
Yeah, anything of note happened this afternoon?
Not particularly.
What about Eloise? Stop! Wait! Listen to me. You know, you can talk to me if you want to. I know, I get all mixed up, I get caught up in this business shit, but I want you to know that I'm there for you if you need me to be.
Burke looks at Lane, thinking.
She's gone.
She's gone? What do you mean she's gone?
I don't know, man. I screwed it up. I threw all my bullshit in her face. Could have been something. Nightmare.
Burke.
Sleep well. Big day tomorrow.
Burke.
Worried, Lane watches Burke climb the stairs. Burke submerges himself in the hotel swimming pool.
She'd be proud of you. I can go to her funeral.
Hypocrite.
You're stuck. You can't move forward because you got your eyes on the rearview mirror.
You're really messed up.
Swerve into a pole. She died instantly.
Rays of light shine through the water, illuminating Burke underneath. Eloise drives up to her shop to find Lane waiting for her under his umbrella in the pouring rain. She looks at him concerned, and he raises his hand with a fond smile. Burke walks downstairs to be met by a rain-soaked Lane in the hotel lobby.
Good morning, Saya. This way.
What happened to you?
For a little run. It's refreshing. You know, Vernon went for the international and DVD rollout. Yeah. Old man likes VCs, and we are Rolls-Royce.
Get it done.
First things first, I need you to shake some hands with somebody here.
Mr. Vernon, it's a pleasure.
Lane opens the door for Burke, who finds Eloise anxiously waiting for him. He looks at her, then turns to Lane.
Lane, goddamn Marshall.
Lane leaves them to talk.
Well, this is unexpected. I'm sorry.
Lane told me the truth.
Burke looks away, instantly distressed.
You don't deserve what you put yourself through. I hope that you can find a way to somehow give yourself a break. Because if you don't, this is going to be your life. I just think that's... That's just sad.
Burke looks down at the ground as Eloise stands close by.
That's it. That's all I came to say.
He looks at her face but can't speak. He tries to smile but is fighting emotion.
So just take care of yourself, okay?
She walks to him, placing her hands on his shoulders and stares into his eyes. His face is stony and she searches it. Stroking his neck, she walks out.
How many of you can't get enough of Burke Ryan?
I bet that you would love
to see him in your living room from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. every day on your local syndicated channel. Huh? Yes!
Lane points at the unicorn suits who sit smiling.
See what we can do about that.
Burke leans against the door out in the hallway, fighting off panic. With real effort, Burke runs into the seminar under the usual spotlights. He takes a microphone from Lane up on stage.
Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you. Have a seat, please. Gosh, I'm feeling okay. How are you?
Out in the hallway, Burke's father-in-law furiously strides towards the seminar.
See your badge?
Sorry, what?
Your badge.
I got a badge. You damn thief, you know. Some bitch broke into my house and took something. There's your badge.
You can keep this.
No papers.
We have made a lot of progress in the last few days. But don't forget, it's just a foundation for the future.
Burke nervously looks up at the ceiling.
Excuse me.
Distracted, Burke paces on stage, watched by the now nervous unicorn suits. His father-in-law walks in unnoticed.
You know, boys, I'm sorry. I can't lie to you guys anymore.
From the wings, Lane watches his friend grow emotional.
You know, I stand here, and I watch you all confront your pain. And I envy you. Because I haven't confronted mine.
His father-in-law narrows his eyes, hearing the unfolding confession.
I didn't want it to be my fault. My wife's accident.
Walter listens intently from the audience.
It was raining. This dog. In the middle of the road. We had been arguing over paint colors for the kitchen. Paint colors. But what I haven't told you is that I was driving the car.
Flashback to the impact of the crash.
Not her.
A bloody-nosed Burke looks over to his open-eyed, dead wife in the seat next to him.
I killed my wife.
Teary-eyed, Walter sighs. The female unicorn rep covers her mouth, and Burke's father-in-law fights back tears as they all witness Burke's grief unfurl on stage.
I'm so sorry.
It was just an accident, son.
Burke turns in surprise to see his father-in-law near the stage.
That's all it was.
Burke shakes his head, and Lane watches helplessly as the father-in-law climbs up onto stage.
There was nothing you could have done.
No.
No, it's true. It was just one of those freak accidents. Listen to me. We never blamed you. Never. All we really wanted to do was mourn with you, son. We didn't know what to do. We couldn't find you. That's been the worst part.
The two men embrace as Burke sobs. With clasped hands, Lane cries off stage.
It's okay.
Walter looks on, and swallowing, he raises his hands. He stands and a woman joins him. As Burke and his father-in-law stand apart, Burke turns to face the audience who rally around him. The CEO of Unicom takes in the applause and strength of feeling. All attendees stand, and his father-in-law smiles at Burke, who smiles back. In the foyer, Lane walks to Burke and hugs him.
I should have had you do that a long time ago. You gonna be all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Mr. Ryan, Ted Vernon. That was something.
Yeah, that was something, huh? That was reality up there, Mr. Vernon. And if you can't accept that for what it is, then you can take your deal and you can shove it up your ass.
The CEO looks at Lane before addressing Burke.
I found it refreshing, and I respect you for it.
Lane closes his eyes in horror as the CEO holds out his hand to Burke.
I'm sorry, are we still...
We'll see.
This is why you keep firing me. I'll be right back. Mr. Vernon?
Lane hurries after the departing CEO. Burke turns to see his father-in-law. They smile.
There's something I don't think you ever realized. As far as we were concerned, we didn't just lose our daughter. We also lost our son. I'm sorry. We understand. And she would want you to just get on with your life. And don't be a stranger. But next time, make sure you use the front door.
I will, I promise.
And listen, thank you, son.
I should have done this a long time ago.
No, not about that. You're getting rid of that damn bird. I love you, kid.
Love you too.
Burke watches his father-in-law walk away. He turns, signing OK next to a cardboard cutout of Burke, who waves. Burke walks to the hotel stairs, but pauses, turning to see himself reflected in the elevator doors. They open, and he walks inside, smiling. Burke packs his suitcase and leaves his hotel room, stopping at the painting of a bowl of fruit. He smiles to himself. From the back of his yellow taxi, Burke sees a neon super car wash sign and the King Street Stadium passing by. You can no longer see. Just let my love... Eloise walks to her shop, removing the back in 5 minutes sign to reveal a piece of paper stuck to the window with a written word in black pen on it. Ses Quippy Delianist. She picks it up, looking at it closely, then looks around her. Going to a cabinet, she takes out a dictionary and finds the meaning. Typed font reads, a person who uses long, unusual, sometimes obscure words in speech or writing. Smiling, Eloise looks back down at the dictionary. And have a little faith in me. And have a little faith in me. Smiling to herself, Eloise looks back down at the dictionary. To have a little faith in me. Frozen, Eloise smiles excitedly, then taking a breath, turns to face the smiling Burke.
Hi. Oh, and the thing is, you spent the last few days getting to know the part of me that wasn't really available. So I was wondering, if I haven't screwed it up too bad, if you would be interested in getting to know the part of me that is.
Yes, she would. Marty, sorry.
Eloise turns back from Marty, who disappears again, and slowly puts down the dictionary. She gently walks towards Burke. They kiss, and he kisses her forehead. She closes her eyes, and they embrace tenderly.
Chapter 15. During your travels, it's important to always keep one thing in mind. When one thing ends, something else begins.
Seattle cityscape. Burke's father-in-law walks out in his pajamas to collect a newspaper from the garden step. He bends down to pick it up, and as he opens the front cover to read, he hears a noise overhead.
Ah, jeez. Is it yourself?
Yeah, sure. Who else would it be?
Come on, come on. Come on. Hello.
Ask me where you've been, not that I care. Hello. Back to the salt mine. Hello. 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 Goodbye.
Roll credits.
Every day it's getting closer. Once go ahead and ask her, a love like yours will surely come my way. Hey. Stronger, come with me. Do you ever?
Thank you.